I think we ought to spend a little bit of time and talk about the rumble in the jungle. Anybody remember this? I'm not calling on you, Denny. Thank you. Thank you for that. The rumble in the jungle is known as the greatest fight of all times. It took place on October 30th in the year 1974, a time when Soul Train was on TV, and house parties and platform shoes went hand in hand, and everyone was dancing to funk music. It took place in the country of Zaire, which today is called the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Two titans, they met there for the greatest fight of the century. The fight featured the reigning heavyweight champion of the world, George Foreman, and his challenger, Muhammad Ali. But I was reading the story about the rumble in the jungle, and while I was going through this, I come to the realization that you did not have to be anywhere near the Republic of the Congo to find yourself in a rumble of the jungle. Who knows anything about fighting? Well, you got this ring surrounded by ropes. And off in that corner, you've got George Foreman. And off in this corner, you've got Muhammad Ali. And they have a trainer with them and a manager. And they're telling them what to do. And they're telling them about the upper cut and the lower cut and the sideways cut and this cut and that cut and all the other cuts. And the bell rings and they come out fighting. They're punching each other. Somewhere along the line there may be a term called TKO, total knockout. Or it might be decided by points. So having said all of that, we all have to deal with the issues in a jungle called life. If it's worry or stress, or a recent trip to the doctor, or financial issues that causes bill collectors to call all hours of the day and night. But whatever your case may be, I have good news for you. Jesus has given us victory in life's jungle in spite of the rumble. The Bible tells us that Jesus was led away into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The text teaches us how he can be victorious in the rumble, in the jungle of life. The first thing that we must do is to stick with the fight plan. Everybody's got a fight plan. Football is a game plan. Baseball is, I don't know what kind of plan. But there's always something laid down prior to the activity that says we're going to do this and this and this if this and this and this happens, or we'll do that if that happens, and it goes on and on and on. So we have a fight plan. And for those who aren't aware of it, the devil throws punches, and his all-time favorite that gets most of us all the time is the sucker punch. Anybody know what a sucker punch is? It's a big surprise. It's a punch that you don't expect. There's no preparation for it. And in some cases, I can think of one when I was a kid, it only took one sucker punch. And I was the one laying on the ground. Yeah. See, I was a lover, not a fighter. Huh? Ah, thank you. Okay. But this was a sucker punch of doubt. This was how the devil operates. And we must overcome that devil's sucker punch of doubt. How can we do that? With the Bible. With the Word of God. The first temptation that confronts Jesus is human hunger after fasting for 40 days. You see, what you have to understand here is Jesus wandered the wilderness for 40 days without food or drink. And that put him in a very vulnerable position as a human at that point. He was very weak, very thirsty. And when we're in these type of situations, we are very vulnerable to temptations. I know when I was dealing with diabetes, there were certain foods that you could eat and there were certain foods you could not eat. And I want to tell you something. When I was hungry, it didn't matter what I could eat or not eat. Because I was vulnerable to that temptation of that ice cream that was sitting in the freezer. Or that loaf of bread that was homemade. And it was the same thing for Jesus. I'd like to think that some of this 40-day thing was on purpose. That Jesus starved himself for the purpose of people realizing that he was at his lowest and his temptation was the greatest, and yet he still managed to sidestep the devil's sucker punch. So the devil says to Jesus, command those stones to be made into bread. Now I bet you Jesus really wanted to do that because he was hungry. But Jesus declined. He said Satan's offer, and he throws an overhand right punch and says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, an overhand right punch is one of the most powerful punches that you can give if you're in a fight. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He went to the most powerful position that he had and nailed Satan with it. In other words, Jesus was telling Satan that our meals don't come from ourselves. He was telling Satan that they come from the one who takes care of us. And his overhand right punch got Satan's attention. All of a sudden, Satan realized, well, this one ain't going to work. Let's try something else. But we must not doubt God. We must trust him and stick to the fight plan, which is the Word of God. When we face these temptations, as Jesus did in the wilderness, we need to refer to the Word of God. If we're not carrying our Bible with us, you know enough about it to refer to it. You know enough of what is right and what is wrong because of the time you spend in the Word of God. You see, when we put our physical needs ahead of our spiritual needs, we've committed a sin. Now, did you ever relate that? Did you ever make that connection? Boy, you know what? I'd rather go sit on the beach this beautiful Sunday morning than go to church and worship God. That's a sin. That's when we follow what our physical needs and our mental mind's direction that it sends us in, rather than where we know we should be, that is a temptation that results. We put this tag called sin on that temptation. When we allow circumstances to dictate our actions instead of following God's will, we sin. Jesus could have turned those stones into bread. But if he had, he would be exercising his power independently of the Father's. And we face this every day. We are so apt to follow our own desires, or we're so apt to use that sucker punch or that right hand uppercut rather than you asking Jesus to help us in this rumble of life. We're more apt to take it upon ourselves than to call on Jesus Christ. Not only do we have to stick with the flight plan, or the fight plan, we have to use the resources that are in our corner. Now, I mentioned earlier, the bell rings and everybody goes to their own corner. And what's in that corner? Here's a guy over there rubbing him up and down and keeping his muscles loose. And here's another guy that's outside of the ring telling them, okay, watch, this guy's really good on this kind of a poke, so pay attention to him. Don't let him get to you. Get close to him. Get away from him. This manager is telling him what to do. Okay? The greatest news of the day is that you have a Father as your sponsor. What are sponsors? Well, that's where all the money comes from. Muhammad Ali had all kinds of sponsors. He was on the boot tube constantly promoting something and getting paid very, very well with it. Sports figures today become multi-millionaires because of their sponsors. And Jesus Christ, the Son, is the manager in this rumble of life. But we don't get to be a multi-millionaire in a monetary sense. We get to become wealthy beyond belief because our manager is Jesus Christ. And when we pay attention and do what he tells us to do, our wealth is seen and realized in heaven. The Holy Spirit is our trainer. The Holy Spirit is there guiding us and directing us. The Holy Spirit is there telling us in this rumble of life that to get close to your opponent because he's good when he's farther away. The Holy Spirit is there telling us to step back and watch that uppercut. And this guy is really good at sucker punches. This is the Holy Spirit that's guiding us and directing us through this rumble of life. And we need to pay attention to him. And the Holy Spirit is telling us to stick to the fight plan. Do not deviate. Stay with it. There is success in our fight plan. And we need to listen to our trainer. So now, the devil takes Jesus up to the holy city. Okay, the devil's failed again, right? He knows it, and we know it. He tried the first temptation, that didn't work. Well, we'll try this one, that didn't work. So the devil's pulling out all stops now. This is it. I'm going to give him the biggest sucker punch that I can possibly give him. And he takes him to the holy city, and he puts him on the highest point in the city, and tries to use the word of God, his Father, our Father, against him. And that is why we have to be careful where we get our promotions from. We have to be careful in who our sponsor is. We have to be careful to listen to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit so we can stick to our fight plan. Because human pride will make you think that you are more than what you really are. Who's guilty of that? We all are. Even we don't want to admit it. We all are. We all think more of ourselves than what we really are. We all think that we can not bow to that temptation that the devil throws in front of us. Well, I'm a Christian. I got the Holy Spirit on my side. The devil can do whatever he wants. And I'm not going to bow to it. But you forgot. The devil is awesome at sucker punches. Don't put yourself in that situation. Don't allow that devil to land that sucker punch as you walk through life and as you deal with the rumble in the jungle of life. We never forget without God we are nothing. But Jesus hits Satan with that uppercut from the Word. He says, it is written. In other words, Jesus lets him know that his promotions come from his Father above. And we must realize people will promote you, and when you don't dance to their tunes, they will demote you. If they're paying you to throw that punch so the other guy wins, and you don't do it, they're going to drop you like the plague. And for us, if we don't do what Jesus Christ tells us to do, sticking to the fight plan, fighting the fight in the rumble in the jungle of life, and we refuse to follow the instructions that God gives us in the Bible, in the Word, we have opened ourselves up to the biggest sucker punch you can imagine from the devil. And he will flatten you right out on the ground with one punch. When a child of God is in the will of God, the Father will protect him. He watches over those who listen and follows in his way. Not only do we have to stick to the fight plan and use the resources in our corner, we need to listen to our manager that's telling us all these things while the trainer is up front there keeping our muscles loosened, etc., etc. The text also teaches us that we have to finish the fight. A skilled fighter does not just know how to start a fight, but he knows how to finish one. If we're going to rumble in the jungle with the devil and stick to the fight plan and use the resources that are in our corner, and when the enemy begins to rock and roll, it is not time for a coffee break. If you do, you're going to hear TKO, total knockout. The devil won. But if we pay attention to our manager and our promoter, if we stick to the fight plan, then you're going to hear somebody say, you have finished him off. You have a TKO on the devil. The text tells us that the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain and says to the Lord, I will give you all of this if you bow down and worship me. And that's when Jesus delivers the knockout punch. Now the one thing that's really struck me in this sentence, here's the devil. You talk about a sucker punch. The devil standing up there, Jesus standing right next to him, and the devil's telling him, I will give you all of this. The devil didn't own it. He ain't giving you nothing. Tell me that's not a sucker punch. Tell me that them words don't create doubt. The third temptation has to do with the pride of life and who we will worship. The enemy offers us the things of this old sin-sick world, but the Lord offers us himself, the living word of God, which is able to save our soul. Satan came as Jesus when he knew Jesus was hungry. Satan's not stupid. He's an expert at taking advantage of situations. 40 days, man, this guy's got to really be hungry. So I'm going to offer him food. But it didn't work. It didn't work because Jesus stuck to the fight plan. It didn't work because Jesus listened to his father, the manager. But here Satan leaves Jesus when he realizes that in the beginning was the Word. And he realized that the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In other words, Satan realized that in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was God, was with God, and Jesus was God. What a fight plan. You can't beat that. Now here's the knockout punch. When Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve him." In other words, Jesus is telling Satan to get out of my face. I'm not going to worship that object. I'm going to worship the one who stepped out of nothing, took nothing, made something, and took something, and made everything. You tell me that that's not worth worshiping. The one who took dirt and dust. The one who took dust and made man. Who took man and made woman. And put them together and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." You tell me that's not worth worshiping. You tell me that that's not the most awesome fight plan you ever heard. The one who painted the sky blue without using a paintbrush or a ladder. The one who gave the dog its bark. The one who gave the cow its moo, the kangaroo its hop, the snake its wiggle, the one who created a black cow, let it eat green grass, and produce white milk. Unless it was a brown cow, then what happened? Amen. But you see my point? You tell me that that is not worth worshiping. You tell me that that is not worth coming to church on a sunny Sunday morning rather than going to the beach. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. See, just like Ali, who had a fighting plan in the rumble of the jungle, we need to have a fighting plan in the rumble of the jungle of life. Therefore, we need to stick to the fighting plan, which is the Word of God. We need to spend time right here. I will tell you for myself, I don't spend near enough time with this. And I would venture to guess that there is a lot of people in this world that don't do this. That don't just sit down, and rather they're watching a TV show, open up the Word of God, and try and figure out what the fight plan God has for us for tomorrow. It's called devotions. You see, we need to listen to the culture that is in our corner, which is the Word of God. And we need to allow the manager to guide us. And that would be Jesus Christ. We must finish the fight by standing and trusting in the Word of God. In other words, We have to throw some punches at the devil. We have to hit him with our trust in the Lord. We have to sack him with forgiveness for those who have hurt us. We have to jab him with a punch of thanksgiving every chance we have. We have to hit him with a body blow of prayer and an uppercut of fasting. We have to blacken his eyes and bloody his nose and knock him out with the truth that comes from the Scripture. You see, Jesus stepped out of eternity into time and got on heaven's elevator. And he came down through 42 generations to the bottom floor. There was a virgin named Mary. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. He was baptized in the Jordan. He was tempted in the wilderness. He was betrayed by one of his own. He was led up a mountain called Calvary, nailed to an old rugged cross, died upon that cross for our sins. Then he was placed in a borrowed tomb. But I am so glad how the story ends. Early Sunday morning, Jesus got up. He stepped out on resurrected ground. And he declared that all power in heaven and on earth is in his hand. All of God's people said.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is.